made some sort of federal violation by calling it WLS. It's WGN Chicago.
You've only done that once before.
I've only done, well, this is a bad time to do it, since we're out at, you know, at the Iowa caucuses. But I'm here with our friends from ABC News, who I worked with for 25 years at the other place, so I just forgot where I was for a second.
It is hard to remember.
That's an awesome move.
Happy caucus day.
Happy caucus day to you. Pat Brady, he's been up for three straight days. This is part of a special thing that we've done to the long-suffering former head of the Republican Party in the state of Illinois. We're going to make him suffer some more by keeping him awake for as long as humanly possible.
What time were you up this morning, Pat?
Early. Thanks, Big John.
He's a good man. All right, anyway, so you're fired. So now we're tell me now, what do you think is the likely scenario tonight? Let's start with the Democrats, because let's face it, Hillary Clinton. We're going to have one of her national spokespersons coming out in about an hour for us, and I'm surprised that this is tight. I mean, she's running against a confirmed socialist who's 110 years old. Who it seems like the people who are taking him seriously. They're taking him seriously because it's a joke.
You know, though, if you listen to her speech last night and listen to what Bernie Sanders is saying, they're not saying a lot of the different things. I mean, they're both kind of singing from the same book, but it is amazing. It's probably just more a reflection of this year as a weird year, the year of the outsider. And Bernie Sanders, when you listen to him, if you're a young kid and they say, hey, I'm going to pay for your college, or we're going to do things for you as a government, it's appealing to people. And I think that's why it is. But, the more I'm talking to people, I think Hillary is going to win tonight.
Pull out a
and
win.
As soon as she wins tonight, then if Bernie doesn't win tonight, he's going to have a really tough run.
Well, but he's probably going to win in New Hampshire next week, though, right?
Yeah, but then you're getting down to South Carolina and into the Nevada and the SEC states, where she should be very, very strong. And the best analysis I saw or talked to somebody earlier today was about that she will do well in the areas that Obama did well, the eastern part of the state, along the river there, Davenport, with more African-American population.
So let's talk about that, because I find that really interesting. Anna and I have learned so much about the state of Iowa geography in just 24 hours. I can't even begin to imagine.
It's been very educational. Even caucusing, learned so much about it, have a much bigger appreciation for the process now, having seen it, lead up to it.
That's true. As the state, as you move across the state from east to west, it becomes more conservative, right?
Yeah.
And Des Moines sort of being the line of demarcation there, where to get west of Des Moines, and it's, you know, it's very Republican, but it's also very conservative Republican.
Well, right where we're sitting is very Democrat, Polk County.
Right. But Des Moines is.
Yeah, Des Moines, yeah.
But once you get west of Des Moines and you get to Sioux City and places like that, yeah, it becomes very, very, very conservative. And that's why Donald Trump has been spending so much time there trying to woo conservatives and evangelicals who were there by going to church and putting cash on the tray.
Well, the first time you go, you could do that. You'd think that, right?
Well, okay.
I don't know.
So, that's... I don't understand, for the life of me, how anybody is taking him seriously.
Well, look at what he's over there, because his vote, so Matt Strawn will be on later, was talking about earlier, going to come out of the eastern part of the state. That's more his people. He's just trying to pick off as many conservatives as he can, because you think about the people that are fighting over the conservative vote. Santorum, Carson, Cruz, so he's just trying to get as much as he can out of there, but I don't think that's where the majority of his vote's going to come from.
I just got to say, the most impressive thing about this is, you know, we're walking up and down the streets of Des Moines within a couple blocks of our broadcast center here,
mm-hmm,
and we're just literally rubbing elbows with every one of these people. And what's amazing about it is that, with the exception of Hillary Clinton, we have not seen Donald Trump, but we've seen a lot of other people. They're running with very limited security details. They touch people. They're out.
Except, did you see Hillary earlier today?
Yeah, well,
she's
staying in our hotel. She got delivered.
She's traveling with Bill, though, as well, right? So doesn't she have his protection?
I saw her at lunch come out. But, yeah, I mean, they both, mm-hmm, she's former Secretary of State,
right,
and everything else.
She's going to get that for, forever, yeah. But even at that, I mean, she's a little bit of an exception. But last night, I mean, we got up right next to her last night.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it was like, but how does that happen?
But isn't that the beauty of this whole thing? That's what I've kind of learned about this whole caucusing, you know, that they really have to appeal to the people. They really have to shake hands and see people in person and look at them in the eye and say, here's what I stand for, and here's what's going on with my campaign, why you need to fight for me and I'll fight for you.
Well, that's a good point, because Trump's not done any of that. So if he actually does win tonight, and I think conventional wisdom around this building is that he's going to. He didn't do any of the things you typically do, so right. he's rewritten the rules if he wins.
Did you hear at his rally today? He said that his people, his security people, told him that someone may be bringing tomatoes in or may have brought tomatoes in. And he said, you have my permission to go ahead and beat the crap out of them, and I'll pay your legal bills if you find the person with the tomatoes. He's like asking people to commit a felony.
Yeah, that's nice for a commander-in-chief.
He's breaking all the rules.
What's wrong with that guy? Just explain, what's wrong with him?
Yeah, can't you explain?
He's nuts. Why does anybody take him seriously?
You're a former head of the Republican Party in Illinois.
Oh, man, you always get to bring that up, bro.
Yeah, why did you? Oh, okay. Oh, it's because you're so ashamed of it.
No.
But, I mean, it's... Okay, so last night we were talking
about... Listen to his speech. Listen to what he says, at least compared to what we saw last night with Secretary Clinton, who might have been talking to a different crowd, more the media, national media, than the people in front of her. But it's very simple. Take back America. I think a lot of it's a product of what we've seen in the last 8 years. A lot of, you know, the president, it's a response to the president, and some of it's a response to people that don't feel that the Republicans in Congress have done enough. Some of all these people, he crosses all lanes. A lot of these people are Democrats or people that have never voted before. These aren't conservative Republicans.
But there's also liberal Democrats are going to be caucusing for him tonight because they want him to be the candidate. Right?
Yeah, you know, do you really think, I've never bought the conspiracy theories that they can get enough numbers to do that. I don't think they can either.
Remember
when they did, Rush Limbaugh was trying to do that, in Texas a couple cycles ago. But do you really come out and spend 2 hours to vote for somebody you can't stand because you think that's pretty.
Because even in the Republican, and the Republican caucus is different than the Democratic caucus, right? Because in the Democratic sites where they're doing this, that's where they stand in corners of the room and they get cajoled to come over because Martin O'Malley will not have enough the supporters.
Right, 15% or whatever you need, right?
Right, and so what they'll do is both Bernie and Hillary's, and I like we can call them by their first names, because we met because we're spending so much time with them.
Yeah, they're friends now.
Yeah, because
we've been in Iowa.
I believe I spooned with Hillary last night. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she was staying right above me, and I kept thinking, I just want to hear what's going on.
Some little
there.
Thing.
Yeah, secret. Anything.
She was in the hotel.
Yeah,
she
stayed right
in
above.
The same hotel as us.
Yeah.
You know, because you see the motorcade leaving this morning.
Yeah. And you know who else is? It's interesting. Dr. Ben Carson is there, too. So in case anybody has a medical problem, they can call on him. Is there a doctor in the house? but anyway, that's all I call. So back to this idea for the Democrats, they're going to, you know, they then invite people to join them in their groups, in their clusters of people. And in Republicans, they write down the names and handwrite them?
Yeah, they literally write them down. I think they just write them down and then they throw them in a box.
What if you can't read it? That's an interesting, because, you know, there's some people that you, no matter what, you can't figure out.
Well, we saw last time that this process is so like that, where it's just you're putting your ballot in a shoebox or whatever, when they had the problem with announcing Romney one when actually Sam Dormal.
So close.
That's why we see what you see here tonight behind us, or today, that Microsoft, this is all going to be much more sophisticated than computers. But they're still going to, like Matt said, at the one we're going to tonight, they'll just dump it into a box. Good questions, but this is a party operation. It's not like David Orr's here watching it.
Mm-hmm. They have apps this year, too, for the Democrat Party.
I'm not sure if that's a great example, Ro, but that's somebody watching.
Yeah, the former mayor of Chicago, David Orr. Yeah.
But they're doing it by app for the first time this year, too. They're going to plug all their data into the app and be tabulating it that way.
For exactly this reason, too.
Yeah.
Because
I still think, though, the point of purchase is still the slip of paper.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And the thing is, but then there's going to be somebody with an app, not an iPhone, because you need an Android phone for this, for Microsoft. But and Microsoft is, as a matter of fact, it's really funny that the guy who's running this for Microsoft came through our little broadcast area a couple hours ago before we were on the air and is demanding to be interviewed. And I said, well, we can't. We don't have, we're not on. And he's like, well, we can do it now. I go, no, we can't. Come back.
You should have just faked it, done it.
Pat, not the first time I've done that. It's things like this. But Microsoft is sponsoring this entire media operation.
It's something to see. I mean, if we just took a tour down there with Tony Parker, the secretary of the RNC, it's really pretty good.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It is. It's, it, but it is and of all the different things I've ever covered like this, this is the first, like, really 21st century feeling one, you know, where they're using technology and it's, and you know, everything is micro. And I was on TV this morning using a laptop computer as opposed to a camera.
Well, that back to the initial question, that explains a lot of Trump. This is a social media world. I'm more tuned into Twitter now than I was 4 years ago. I mean, people even my age. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is and you are able to do this reality star campaign and have a Kardashian kind of campaign and do well. I mean, that's what I'm seeing so far from them.
Yeah, you got a Kardashian candidate right there, pal. I mean, like you've never seen before, because even today, where he's, as Anna's pointing out, he was cajoling his audience to beat up anybody who came in with produce. Right? I mean,
how is that okay?
You know, it's not okay. The thing is, I've been a volunteer since I was a little kid doing this, and that irritates me because this is important.
This is
our commander in chief.
Great point.
It's going to hurt a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to get killed if we don't put the right person in there. I mean, it's more serious than that, and that's why he irritates me to no end, because it's all a big joke. Flybys on my plane, and. Yeah, that's why I get so angry. It's okay.
A lot of people do. When you look at the Marco Rubio, and then we had I think Steve Cochran had the head of the Illinois Marco Rubio campaign on this morning. He's talking about it's so hard to get attention if you aren't that sort of circus type candidate, especially on the Republican side. But could Marco Rubio really pull out strong numbers tonight? And do you think that could create strong momentum for him?
Yeah, I suspect he might have a pretty good night tonight. If he gets up 26-27%, comes out here with a strong second, that's the story. Not that Trump won, because everyone's expecting Trump to win. So, and again,
I think that Rubio comes from behind. He's got some ground to make up from the Des Moines Register poll. But you still, I think in that poll, there was still 30-something percent that were undecided.
Right, and that poll's been tremendously accurate, except last time. And polling in the last couple cycles has been terrible.
Also because of social media, because I think people know that they can lie, and they want to. And I'm going to tell you the other piece of the Trump story. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to do it with your partner, Matt Strong, coming up. I want to do that, because I have a theory about what's happening tonight with Trump. The people will not have the courage of their goofy-ass convictions
and show up.
And then the other question part of that after the break would be, what does Trump do if he loses tonight? Because he's not a loser. He's a winner.
But Chuck Todd was on a couple weeks ago, and he made the great point. If he loses, all the media still goes to him, because he'll have lost. So the second-place winner, other than I think Rubio might steal some of that, because it would be such a slap to Cruz.
All right, well, we'll come back. We'll talk more about that. It is the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN, live from the Iowa caucuses in Des Moines, Iowa.
So I got a little notice, in case you see, the security guys. We have wonderful security guys. They said, Mr. Trump, there may be somebody with tomatoes in the audience. So if you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them. Would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise. I promise.
Isn't that a felony to, like, beat somebody up?
Yes. Yes. So you beat somebody up, and if you really hurt them, I mean, it really is depending on how injured they are as a result of the beating, right?
That's right. I got a tweet about that. Resulting in serious injury is a Class D felony in Iowa. If it's an assault resulting in serious injury.
I mean, that is... I know. I'm going to say it, and people are going to get mad at me for saying it.
All right,
but
go
I'm
going to
say it anyway.
Say it.
It's the kind of crap that, you know, that strong men throughout history have done when they were running. Remember, Adolf Hitler was elected in 1933. He did not seize power in a coup. He was elected.
And true.
I mean, it is an important point, and I'm not comparing him to Adolf Hitler. Don't get me wrong. But it's that sort of, you know, working on the anger and justifying beating somebody up because they may have a tomato, which they didn't even have. But it was just a way, you know, and again, you know, he makes so much stuff up about himself and other stuff. Uh-huh. You know, it seems like the kind of thing that he could make up and justify saying just to whip up his own crowd. It's us versus them.
Well, it's also counterintuitive in a year when everyone's talking about sticking up for the little guy that this guy is the one who is earning so much support. And when he says things like this, it's like, I don't know. This doesn't seem okay to me.
Judy Pilak has got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes.
Live from the Iowa caucuses, it's the Rokan Show with the updated stats and stories in the first step to choosing the next leader of the greatest nation on earth. Right now on 720 WGN.
That seems a little overdone. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that the next leader of the United States of America, the greatest. Greatest nation on earth is actually going to be found here in Iowa, and I'm sort of praying it isn't. Having been through some of these people already, right now we're joined by a man who was the former head of the Republican Party here in the state of Iowa, and Brian Fallon is Matt Strawn is the guy that he's a different guy. Matt is a Matt unfortunately had the experience last cycle in 2012 of encountering very much firsthand how screwed up the system can be.
It was a messy year.
Yes, when you guys announced that it was Mitt Romney who had won, and when in fact it was Rick Santorum, who, by the way, was at the bar down the street today, the coffee bar, not an alcohol bar. I don't think he goes to the alcohol bars. And he was at the coffee bar. He's still talking about that. You know, like this is going to be his surprise. He's still going to win this thing.
But he's flying out tonight. So, I mean, what a difference 4 years makes.
Yeah.
Well, he's got that going for him.
Yeah, which is nice. So let's talk a little bit about the process here in Iowa, because it's different than anywhere else in the nation, essentially. I mean, there's other caucus states, but Iowa is it's the grand champion of this, right? Why is it? And now that I've seen it firsthand, I mean, I get it. But why has Iowa insisted on maintaining this system? Because it seems like, you know, it's pretty cumbersome, right?
Well, it is. And that's, you know, we'll see if Donald Trump can rewrite a new way of actually succeeding in the Iowa caucuses. But traditionally, it's a system that demands candidates be here. We don't care what your title or privilege is. There's going to be an Iowan that's going to be in a barn or a convenience store or a coffee shop that's going to hit you right between the eyes with a question that you have to answer with about 50 media cameras around you. And that's kind of the calling card of the Iowa caucuses, that we're going to vet these candidates. Our job is not to pick the winner. Our job is to start winnowing the field, actually sizing them up up close and personal.
And it is up close and personal. And it is amazing to me because, you know, you can't walk out of this building and not trip over a candidate.
So true.
I mean, it's amazing. And they're walking around pretty much. I mean, you know, as we're talking about Santorum, and again, Santorum isn't really, you know, doing anything in the polls. He's just walking around in a coffee house.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was just over at Drake University a couple hours ago talking to a group of students, and I asked them to start. I said, okay, well, how many candidates have you had a chance to meet? And they started laughing. And I said, let me rephrase that. Which candidates have you not met?
Well, Trump is really the only one who's not touching people, right? He's the only one who's not going into the crowds because he's got that thing, too. He's like, he doesn't want to touch people. He's got, you know, he's a
hygiene thing.
He's a Purell guy, yeah.
Yeah, no, well, I'm looking for it right now. You know, keep your hands to yourself up here. You know, that's how we do things in Des Moines.
Yeah,
but
no,
that's, don't worry.
No.
That's how Roe does it, too.
In Chicago, too.
Don't worry.
But
yeah.
No, that's exactly right. I think I can probably count on both hands how many times an Iowan has had a chance to actually ask Donald Trump a question. And that is the huge question mark going into tonight is, do those people show up that are more casual observers of politics, people that aren't traditional caucus goers? Mm. You look at Ted Cruz's support. Those are folks that caucus every 4 years like it's their job. Trump, they're still trying to explain to them where your caucus is, how you caucus. I was at a Trump event a couple weeks ago, and literally part of the pre-program was his state chairwoman saying, if you can write T-R-U-M-P on a blank slip of paper, you have caucused. So they're trying to literally break it down
to
its basic level.
So when the Republicans go to their caucus sites, it's different than what the Democrats do. But they go and they mingle for a while first, right? And then they call the vote, and then everybody writes it down and puts it in a shoebox or whatever.
Yeah, we've got some speeches first. So when the meeting gets called to order after everybody's mingling, each campaign has the opportunity to have one person stand up and make the pitch. And that is replicating itself 1,681 times around the state.
1,681 caucus sites.
Yep, those are 1,681 caucus sites where when you hear about the importance of an organization, that's where it really comes in.
Who's, is that for Republicans or total?
That's for Republicans.
Wow.
Yep, both parties have one.
But there's so many Republicans running, so it makes for a lengthy caucus process.
And that's exactly right. And the well-organized campaigns are the ones that will have somebody stand up. And not just somebody. You want that guy in town that's been selling families insurance, you know, for two generations. You want the guy that has the equipment dealership in town. You want the pastor at the church. So it's just as important as who is speaking on your behalf as opposed to what they're saying.
And these candidates have to go out and get those people because those are the points of light that are going to be in those rooms for them.
Yep, that's exactly right. And that's where Ted Cruz, he has 99 county chairs that are doing that and have been doing that all year. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, we really don't know. what type of organization he has. These are folks that, you know, are being educated, many, to register tonight as Republicans for the first time to compete. So there's a huge Trump-sized question mark over this entire entire turnout.
Because of that, does Cruz have the most to lose today, do you think, if he doesn't show up as well?
Yeah, and I do. And that's because Iowa has, you know, kind of historically chosen the more socially conservative candidate, Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, and somebody that fits that profile like Ted Cruz. If he's not successful, the question is, well, if he can't win in Iowa, where can he?
Interesting.
Yes, that's an excellent question. And because he spent so much time here, he's been here 14 or 15 months, right? And he's
so
got
organized.
This ground game.
Exactly.
And he spent money on the people on their feet here as opposed to the air war. And there's plenty of air war here. By the way, you know, can I tell you
what
my favorite commercial is so far? Because this
is
the best
it?
Part of being here, is turning on the TV.
Yes.
And I wasn't that sleep particularly
you
well last night,
it.
Thanks to Pat Brady. But because he kicks. But the
yeah, budget's that tight at WGN Radio. You guys had to share a room.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's really he's not a good snuggler. Anyway, the point is that I'm watching the TV last night, and there were so many commercials. Right, it's great to see all of this, and it's great for the local economy here too, right? The media economy. But the best commercial is Bernie Sanders. He has he's got Simon and Garfunkel America, and it is a beautifully shot cinematic. There's no talking in it. Mm-hmm. It's just a song. It's Bernie. You know, basically, it's like Bernie stock, right? He's just out there, you know, like in a field with all these hippies, and it's like, there's something, again, he is the second least likely president of the United States. Of these people.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. The most optimistic ads I've seen all cycle are from the socialist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah.
Right.
Great point.
Now, there have been some bad. He has a PAC, right, that has been beating the crap out of Hillary, too, right?
Yeah,
she was complaining about that.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at what's fueling both the Trump rise on the Republican side and the Sanders rise on the left. I mean, quite frankly, there are two constituencies that think they're getting screwed by the system, by political elites, by Wall Street elites, by the media class. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more that unites them. Now, their solutions, I think, could not probably be more diametrically opposed. But think about what Sanders and Trump are doing, though. They're both saying, I will change it without any thought of, you actually have to get it through a legislature. You have to,
they're both socialists. They're both left-wing strongmen, as it turns out,
right.
Just in different clothing. except Trump's wearing a Trump tie in a blue suit. And
he has a plane.
And he has a plane, mm-hmm. Right? But all the best strongmen have their own planes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if for Hillary. And last night, you know, we were at her rally here at a high school, and Bill was out there. And this is you know, full court press, right? Because you had the former president of the United States, daughters there, the grandbaby, the pregnant daughter with twins is there, and she's showing, and the one grandchild back sleeping. They're tweeting out pictures of a sleeping baby in a hotel room. Thank God that baby didn't keep me up last night. That's all I'm going to say. I'd have been up there knocking on their door, you know.
As opposed to Brady keeping you up all
night. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure which is worse.
It's a very cold feet, too. So anyway, the point is that what we have here is a strange moment for her, because this just proves that there's something as a candidate. She's it's got a very impressive resume.
Absolutely.
Obviously a brilliant person.
Exceptionally well qualified.
In a lot of ways. I think a lot of people there are a lot of people who look at Hillary Clinton, though, and wonder. I mean, the people obviously are not going to like her politics, but the people are going to look at her personally, if you put all the politics aside, and they're going to look at her, and they still can't fully process what happened with Bill and during the Monica Lewinsky thing, and is there really forgiveness, a lot of people think she's an opportunist. Because she just stuck with, you know, because this is all about power. She became senator, then secretary of state, and you know, now should be a front runner. Should have been a front runner in 2008.
Well, and that's what's amazing. When you look at the lessons learned from 2008, technically, when it comes to organization and how you build out a campaign, she has learned from 2008. They have built an incredible organization here. So it begs the question, what has changed? Well, one thing that has changed is the environment. But one thing that hasn't changed also is the candidate. And her ability to be a successful retail candidate, to be relatable to people, it's been a challenge for her here. And especially when, you know, people think they're getting screwed by the elites in this country, the speaking fees, the foundation, that stuff matters more to them than even the emails that the Republicans, I know, get exercised about.
Well, she made that turn last night. in the in her speech, and she tried to echo some of that outsider thing. And we're going to take on Wall Street, and you know there's going to be a. She started talking about taxes that you can't actually enforce, right?
It's just not credible.
Yeah, and it was interesting because she was talking about you know we're going to repatriation, which is something Trump is talking about, and you know this corporate inversion where they're putting their money overseas, and you know we're going to all get it back. Trump's saying the same stuff she is. It's not possible if it goes overseas. That's why there's an ocean on either side of this country, right? You can't go get that over there. We're not
in charge of them.
We're not in charge of the British banking system or the French banking system or even the Canadian banking system as much as we probably should be. So you grew up in this state,
yep.
Right? And you've been in politics your adult life.
Long enough.
Was your family involved in politics?
They were not.
How many times do you think in your years of doing this you have been lied to by a politician? Would you say it's tens of millions?
Every other time?
Are we rounding up?
They talk
yeah.
to you.
Yeah, round up to the nearest million. Right. Because that's what, I mean, they're all trying out their material here. This is like going into the, you know, the small comedy clubs to work out your act before you go to the big ones, right?
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly what the Iowa caucuses are. And that's one thing that's been interesting about Trump, that because he hasn't been doing the traditional Iowa retail campaigning, you're still hearing kind of some of the same speeches he's been giving, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the fall. So, you know, I've heard some initial reports over the last week that his events have, dare I say, been low energy. You know, that maybe the act has gotten a little stale.
He's also, I think it's catching up to him, too.
Yeah.
Because it was really interesting. Saturday was the first time he did three events in a single day here. He would fly in, do an event, and fly home every night. He slept in New York almost in his own bed almost every night. And it wasn't, he was not as ubiquitous as would appear that he was, because just the cable networks would go to him when he showed up. These people were doing, Hillary, for God's sake, was doing four or five events a day.
Her voice was so hoarse, you know, she'd been speaking so much, could tell. It was tiring.
Well, Matt, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Glad to have you here.
Have fun tonight in the, are you representing somebody tonight?
Nope. I'm staying unaffiliated all the way through. I'll vote quietly by myself. We'll just go
from there. Just write down T-R-U-M-P just on that bin, circle it.
R-O-E.
R-O-E. I would like to just get one vote in the Iowa caucus. If you could do that for me, man, that would really be
work?
Great.
You can do a little write-in thing? Can
well,
you?
I don't know. The last one, we had an 8-vote margin, so maybe I'd not better be that cavalier with
that. Right. Awesome.
Think about your vote.
I want a precinct. All right, Matt, thanks very much.
Thanks,
man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.